Thanks for joining us here at New Song Church, where we're helping people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. If you have any questions at all, or just want to learn more about us as a church, you can go to mynsc.org/happenings. It's the best way to stay connected with us throughout the week. And now, check out this week's sermon.
You ready to study the Word of God, yes or no? Now we'll get into it. All right. We're finishing up the series, How to Build Your Best Life. Today is, we're going to talk about the rewards of wisdom. I've entitled it, God Rewards the Wise, because he certainly does. And we're going to look at some verses today that I think are going to be extremely meaningful to you, but also I pray that they're going to be life-changing. I was thinking about something of us Hoosiers, you know, of us here in Indiana. We love ourselves some rewards. Have you ever noticed that? Like, how many of you love to be rewarded? How many have, let me say it this way, how many of you have apps on your phone in which every time you use your app, you get a reward for using that? How many of you guys do that? If you don't, you're missing out on some free stuff. That's all I got to say. How many of you know, by a show of hands, how many know what Kohl's Cash is all about? Raise your hands. Okay. In fact, in our house, I remember Isaac, he bought a shirt for my wife. And because at Kohl's now, you can get these t-shirts, like of these cats, like gangster looking cats with cash flowing everywhere. And it's all about, like, show me the Kohl's cash. You know what I mean? It's like, and we think that's the funniest thing, because in our house, especially my wife, I love my wife. She's so frugal. She's not a spender. In fact, she's a saver. And she loves rewards to the point that several months ago, I took my daughter. I just decided to treat Delight to a like an ice cream cone or something like that at Dairy Queen. And so we went to Dairy Queen and got a little treat for Delight. Went home and my wife's like, hey, where have you been? Well, I just took Delight to Dairy Queen on the way home. Just got, and my wife said, where's the receipt? I'm like, baby, I didn't spend that much money. I promise. Like, I don't, like, I felt like I was in trouble. She's like, no, if I scan it, I get the rewards for it. I want the receipt so I can scan it to get the rewards. We're all built like that. You know what? Can I tell you something? God knows how to reward you better than Dairy Queen ever could. You know what I'm talking about? Like, if anybody knows how to reward you, God knows how to reward you. He does. And not only that, he wants to reward you. He longs to reward you. And you might not understand that. I'm talking about the love of God, the grace of God. How many of you thoroughly enjoy, you don't have to put your hands up, how many of you thoroughly enjoy rewarding your children or your grandchildren for just a job well done? Isn't that fun? Hey, you did a great job. You know what? I'm going to surprise you. Here's a $5 bill. This is just because you're such a great kid. You do such a great job. Isn't that fun just to reward? Well, God is a good father and he loves to reward. In fact, the Bible says he is a rewarder. One of the verses say he's a rewarder of those who diligently pursue him, seek him, make him the focal point of their lives. The Bible says he rewards people like that. Did you know that when Jesus comes back, he's going to be bringing his rewards with him? How many know our God loves to reward his children? He loves to reward us. But he says, listen, if you want to live a great life, if you want to build your best life, you need to live a life of wisdom. And by the way, I will reward the wisdom that's in your life. If you live a wise life, you're going to see my rewards in your life. That's what he says in his word. You're like, well, where's that? Well, I'll show it to you. In fact, I wanted you to take that thought. I want you to shelf it just for a second, because it's going to take us a little journey to get to the type of life that God rewards, okay? And we're going to start the journey here in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. And I'm going to show you something very important. And I'm going to want you to highlight some things. Proverbs 2, 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. Underline that word wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Lord because he's the source of wisdom. He's the source of wisdom. And from his mouth come knowledge, underline that, and understanding, underline that. So from the Lord, we have three things: knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And you will see those words throughout the entirety of the Bible. I'm going to show you some more example. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. There's those three words again. It's not just in the book of Proverbs, but what about the prophet Isaiah? Isaiah 11:2. Now, this is a prophecy about Jesus. Jesus was going to be coming, you know, hundreds of years later, but Isaiah prophesies about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Watch this. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. He said, so he's going to be filled, the Son of God will be filled with knowledge, with understanding, and with wisdom, and because you cannot have wisdom without the fear of the Lord, he says, and he'll also be filled with the fear of the Lord. So Jesus Christ himself, and we talked about this a week or two ago, that Jesus Christ himself, when he came into this world, think about this, fully God, fully human, Emmanuel, God with us, fully divine, fully human. And the Bible is very clear to say that Jesus Christ himself had a healthy, right fear of God. Isn't that interesting? One God, three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son looked at God the Father and, by the way, God the Holy Spirit, because they're three in one, and stood in awe of his heavenly Father. Isn't that amazing? Just think, that's a deep thought. He just stood in awe. What is the fear of the Lord? Remember, we defined it this way, that the fear of the Lord is unrivaled awe, unparalleled allegiance, undivided attention. That's the fear of the Lord. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You will not live in true wisdom unless you have an unrivaled awe of God, unparalleled allegiance, undivided attention. Let me ask you a question. When you came in here today and we began to worship the Lord, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people, that when we gather in his name, there he is with us. Like his presence filled this room. Did you stand in unrivaled awe of God when we gathered in this room and began to worship him? Did you think, oh, God, I'm amazed that you would show up in this place filled with people who have made so many bad decisions. We have transgressed against you. You've saved us by your grace, and you fill this place with your presence. How could I not worship you with all that I have? I'm talking about unrivaled awe of God. And if you came into this moment casually, like the presence of the Lord is here, and you're thinking about, I probably should have put more sweetener in my coffee this morning. Can I tell you, you need a deeper understanding of the greatness, the bigness of God. You need to fear the Lord, stand in awe of him. And can I challenge you on that before we go any further? Everybody, when we're gathered in this place, and by the way, every single day of your life, stand in awe of God, the one who was so powerful. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Think about that. The very one who created everything out of nothing. Stand in awe of him. Everybody see what I'm saying? Okay, so Jesus was filled with the fear of the Lord. He was filled with knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Watch this, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. So it's even in the New Testament, we see. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Let me say it this way, that if you don't have knowledge and understanding and wisdom, then you will not live your best life and you will not please him in every way. Everybody see that? Like, you need knowledge and understanding and wisdom so that you would live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. I don't know about you, but I want to please the Lord. I want to be a God pleaser. Well, I need all of the knowledge and understanding and wisdom that I can get so that I could truly live my life to glorify my Heavenly Father. And he actually starts with, I'm going to go to back verse 9 just for a moment. He says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through wisdom and understanding, the knowledge of His will. And a lot of people read that and are like, okay, well, that's talking about my God-given purpose. That's talking about, you know, like for you, Justin, it would be talking about you being a pastor. That's not what this verse says. That says you need to have the knowledge and understanding and wisdom that comes from God in your life so that you could live out the will of God in your life. And the will of God is not just that thing that you do to make a difference in the life of someone else. The will of God for your life is living a life of worship, a living a life of integrity, a life of obedience to the Lord, not just a one choice moment, but every single hour of every single day of every single year of your life, you are living out the very word of God in your life. That's the will of God. Did you know that? The will of God is for you to love Him with all of your heart, certainly to love others, and then live a life of obedience and integrity. You need to live a life built on the foundation of the Word of God. That's how you build your best life. And I'm gonna teach this to you more. You can tell I'm a little passionate about that because, everybody, I'm tired of being stupid. Like, I've been stupid, and I'm going to prove that to you even more this morning. And I told you this, I hate being stupid. I hate doing stupid things, but something tells me I ain't done yet, right? Like, as much as I don't want to be stupid, sometimes I'm still stupid. I still make bad decisions. I still make bad choices. I still look back sometimes like, I can't believe I did that. Hey, anybody else like me? Like, how many of you thought, you know, I'm such and such age, I didn't think I'd still be making that statement, but I still say it. I can't believe I just said that. I can't believe I just did that. I can't believe that I just, because you thought you were smarter. You thought you were better than that. You thought you weren't going to struggle with that anymore. And as much as I don't want to be stupid, I just have a sense that I'm not done yet. But I want to be better. And I want to be stupid far less often than I have Ben, I don't know about you, but I'm just tired of being dumb. You know, I want to be wise. I want to live a wise life. So I'm going to give you these three key words in Proverbs. We've already covered them, but three key words in the book of Proverbs. The first one is knowledge. Knowledge is the acquisition of truth. Now, I defined that. A lot of people would say, okay, knowledge is just education. Can I tell you something? You can be educated, but educated in all the wrong things. And so I would tell you that biblical knowledge is the acquisition of truth. It's the acquisition of truth where you just, hey, I just know what I know. Now, the next level is understanding. So understanding is the correct interpretation of truth in your life. Now, I'm going to give you some ways to figure this out in just a second. I'll help you understand this better in just a second. So knowledge, acquisition of truth. Understanding is the correct interpretation of truth. And then wisdom is the application of truth. But I added a few words there. It's the application of truth in our daily lives. For instance, we said a week or two ago that wisdom is not just making a good choice one time. Wisdom is a series of good choice after good choice after good choice after good choice after good choice. That wisdom is actually making good choices consistently throughout your life. Wisdom is not just one and done. That's not wisdom. That's just a good choice. Wisdom is a series of good choices. So now, if I want to live a life of wisdom, I have to apply the truth of God in my life every single day. Now, let me say this, that these are actually what I would call biblical laws. They're biblical laws, meaning if you grow in knowledge and you grow in understanding and you put all of those things into practice, God says you will be wise and I will reward you. And I'll prove that to you at the end. So let me give you some examples of this, everybody. knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Knowledge, I have a knowledge, all of you do, in fact, well, this makes sense in a second. We all have a knowledge of gravity, do we not? What goes up, it's got to come down. So when we're standing up and we trip, guess what we do? We don't go up, we go down. Why? Because of gravity. It's a law. Everybody see that? It's a physical law, the physical law of gravity. So we have a knowledge of gravity. Understanding means that I have the correct interpretation of gravity. So now I understand what gravity could do to me if I handle it in stupidity. So wisdom says I'm going to apply my knowledge and understanding to everyday life, and I'm going to remember that falling hurts. So let me give you an example. When I was in college, I traveled every summer for 4 years, traveled the United States as a band representing our college. And one day, we didn't take off very many days, but one day we had a day off and we went to the Grand Canyon. And now I know, I understand, I have the knowledge of gravity, and I have understanding of what happens because of gravity. And I went to the edge of the cliff at the Grand Canyon, and I looked down, and it's hundreds of feet down, hundreds. Like one misstep, and I could die. And what does Justin do? You think, well, you backed up. No, I didn't. I went forward. In fact, I took my camera out, and I went to the very edge, and then I stuck my foot over the edge, and I took a picture. And then back in these days, you had to have your pictures developed. How many remember those days? Like, and I went back. I had my pictures developed. I showed that picture to my dad, and my dad looked at me like, you were about the stupidest young man I've ever seen in my life. Because I was literally one moment away, one stumble away from certain death. And here I am taking a picture of how close I could get to death. And my dad looked at me, he's like, well, that's just dumb. Because what did I have? I knew about gravity, I had knowledge, and I understood, I had an understanding of what gravity does. So I had understanding. What I did not have was wisdom. I did not apply the knowledge and the understanding. In fact, I defied it by going very, very close to plummeting to my death. Here's another one. Here's a great one. Electricity. There are laws to electricity. Did you know that? There are laws to electricity. Electricity happens in certain ways, and if you violate those laws, you're going to suffer. So we have a basic understanding of electricity. Like we have the knowledge electricity exists, and then we have this understanding that if we don't handle electricity the correct way, that it could cause pain. And so we have to be careful with it. And then wisdom actually lives that out. Well, I'm going to be careful with it. And you know, electricity is so unique. One time I was putting Christmas lights together, or a Christmas tree together, and back in these days, this is far more than 25 years, probably 30 years ago now. You know, pre-lit Christmas tree is not really a thing back then. And we actually had to buy our lights, just, you know, wired lights, and you always plug them in to see if they work first. Isn't that interesting how many lights don't work after you just put them in storage and bring them back out? And all of a sudden, they worked when you took them down, and now they're not working when you plug them back in. How many know what I'm talking about? It happens all the time. So what do? You plug it in to see if that string of lights is going to work. Well, I plugged it in. Half of the lights worked. Half the lights didn't. So I go down and I think, well, I'm going to just check the bulbs, check the fuses, see what happens. And I realize that one of the strands, you know how there's all these strands that are twisted and the lights come off? One of them was in two. It was split. And I thought to myself, well, I don't have any wire cutters with me. And so, you know, growing up in Oklahoma, what you do when you need to strip a wire is you just put it in your mouth. And you strip it with your teeth. I forgot to unplug it. And I zapped the snot out of my tongue, everybody. I'm telling you, I took a 110 right to the tongue, and my tongue was literally, it was numb for several days, everybody. No, and I thought, how stupid was that? Because I violated the laws of electricity. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm sure you've never been stupid in your life, but this guy has. Okay, so what I had was, I had knowledge and I had understanding, but I did not have wisdom because I did not apply it to my life. And there are a lot of people who are living their lives today, and sometimes I'm meeting with them in counseling sessions, for instance, and I'll say, well, didn't you know that if you did that, this would happen? Well, yeah. Well, didn't you know if you did this, this would happen? Yeah. Well, what did you expect would happen when you did this? Well, exactly what happened. So they had knowledge and they had understanding, but what they did not have was wisdom. They didn't apply what they knew to be true. Can I tell you, there's other people that we counsel, and let's say if they're having marriage issues, and we'll send them, I'm telling you, we focus on application here, so we'll tell them, hey, you know what, go home this week, and we want you just to do this one thing, each of you, you know, do this one thing, and I'm telling you, you're going to see a difference in your marriage, and then next week, we'll come back, talk about that, add some more to it, until we get you right back on the right track. Well, they come in, hey, after week number two, hey, how did the homework go? Did you do your homework? Well, no. Okay, why didn't you do your homework? Why didn't you do what we asked you to do? Well, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well now, listen, I want you to go home and I want you to do what we talked about last week. That's your homework assignment, you need to do it. They come back the next week, hey, did you guys do your homework? No. Well, at that point, if they come back two or three times to say, sorry, we're just not doing it, at that point, you can say, well, that this might be a little gruff. It's actually very not, it's actually very loving. A lot of times in that moment, we'll say, you know what, we've met now three or four times. You have not done what we've asked you to do. And at this point, you're kind of wasting my time because I'm just repeating myself from what I said the time before and the time before that. And so now, until you do what I'm asking you to do, I'm not going to meet with you again. So if you give me your word that you're going to do it this time, then I'll still meet with you next week, but you got to do it. Oh, Pastor, we will. If they come back the next week, we didn't really do it. Well, I'm sorry, I think our time's over now. Our time's over. You know what it is? It's, I have, and again, you're asking them, well, don't you know that this is the right thing? Yeah. Don't you know you should do it? Yeah. Are you going to? What you have is knowledge and understanding, but you don't have wisdom. You're not applying it in your life. And can I tell you, everybody, this is so non-pastoral, but I can't fix stupid. I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, what I mean by that is, I'm not calling you stupid. I'm saying, because I know you're smart. I cannot give you the discipline in your life to live out what you should be living out. That's your choice. You see it? So you're smart, you know not what to do. You have knowledge, you have understanding. You're not a dummy. What you're lacking isn't knowledge or understanding, you're just lacking the application of knowledge and understanding. You're lacking wisdom. And at that point, I can't help you. If you refuse to apply God's word in your life, I have nothing else to give you at that moment. Everybody see that? And so one of the most loving things that I have to do sometimes is I have to let people hit rock bottom, because rock bottom is not where you're destroyed. Rock bottom is where you're rebuilt. It's where you're redeemed. Bible says he redeems our lives from the pit. Can I help some moms and dads in the room? Some of your children, grandchildren, are making really bad decisions, and they know better. They have knowledge, they have understanding. They just don't apply it, so they're not living in wisdom. And we have the tendency oftentimes that we go in and rescue them, and then rescue them again, and rescue them again, and pay their way out, and pay their way out, and pay, just continually like paying for their lack of wisdom. And you think that you're doing that in love, and can I tell you, at some point you have to stop. Like, you give the benefit of the doubt a few times, no doubt about it. You love, hey, I'm gonna get it for you this, I'll take care of it this time, but next time this is up to you. And then the next time happens, oh, but can you help again? Because they always have an excuse. And so you help them out. At some point though, what you have to do is stop helping them. Dr. James Dobson, who passed away recently, one of my heroes of the faith, he calls it tough love. And what it is, sometimes there are people that are so stubborn, they will not learn a lesson until they hit rock bottom. And when you keep bailing them out, you are restricting them from learning the lesson that God wants them to learn. Sometimes they have to hit rock bottom. But remember, rock bottom is not where they're destroyed. Rock bottom is where they're redeemed. Come on, somebody. Sometimes they have to suffer the consequences of their choices so that they'll truly walk in wisdom because they've learned their lesson. Everybody see that? We'll say, Pastor, how do I know when? How do I know? Well, come and talk to us. That's a subject for another day, another time, but we can help you through that. I just want to give you a heads up, everybody. Can I be super honest with you? Sometimes God shows you and me tough love. The God of the universe, the God who is love, sometimes allows us to suffer the consequences of our choices as a means to get our attention so that we would start relying on him again instead of relying on ourselves. You're like, Pastor Dustin, I don't really like that part. Okay, well then don't live that way. Because you get to make the choice. Did you know that? You get to make the choice of whether you hit rock bottom or not. And if you don't want to hit rock bottom, knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and it will be a life that God will reward. He will not discipline a life of wisdom. He will reward a life of discipline, a life of wisdom. Everybody see that? You guys see that? I'm trying to help you out. Okay, so now there are five different types of people in the book of Proverbs. We're going to go through these very, very quickly, so write fast. Five different people. Some would say four different people in the life of Proverbs. I believe there's five, so I'm going to give you my take. Number one is the simple. It's just the simple. For the simple, the cure is time. There are some people, they're certainly not dumb, they're not stupid, they're just simple-minded, they just haven't learned. Some people come to Christ and they just don't know what the Bible says, they don't know how to live out the Christian life, they've been made thoroughly new in Christ Jesus, they just don't know how to live out their faith. Well, that's why, for instance, coming to church is important, being a part of a small group is important, studying your Bible every single day is important. Why? Because you need to grow in the faith. You need to move from being simple-minded to being wise, and that takes time. And let me show you this in the Bible. Proverbs 3:13, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. How many knows it takes time to find something or to gain something? That doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes time. In fact, even the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, says, hey, stop thinking like children and start thinking like adults. Justin's paraphrase. Stop thinking like children. No, it's time to grow up. In fact, the book of Hebrews says, move past elementary teachings. Like, you've been drinking milk for 10 years. You should be on solid food by now. But you're staying simple-minded because you're not investing in God's word. You're not putting in the time to grow. And you need to. You need to. The simple, it takes time. But you need to use your time wisely and really, really grow in the Lord. The second one is the sluggard, the sloth. And the cure is hard work. I don't know how this happens or why it happens. Maybe some of you are smarter than me and can tell me. But when I was a younger guy, like definitely elementary years, junior high years, even into high school, I was just lazy. I'd be the kid that would sit on the stoops of his house and just say, I'm bored. Which meant I was bored, but I was too lazy to get up and find something to do. And then my parents, being awesome parents, they would come in and say, if you say that one more time, I'll give you something to do. Oh, no, I'll find something off, because they were going to put me to work. How many had parents like that? You had good parents. Can I tell you, you had good parents? And so I just didn't want to do anything. Well, at some point I grew out of that. And now laziness just drives me nuts. Like lazy people, just, they're frustrating to me, but because I'm a man of purpose. And in fact, Pastor Larry told me one time, he learned it from his father. Pastor Larry's kind of a mentor in my life. He said, Justin, when you're interviewing people to hire, he said, you want to look inside their car. If their car is trashed, their life is usually trashed. If their car is messy, their life is usually messy. He said, also follow them to the car. Don't lead the way. He said, and when you follow them to the car, make sure that they're a fast walker. Is people who walk fast are motivated. They're walking with purpose. But people who walk slow, they meander through life. He said, no, you're going to hire a fast walker. Did you know every time I interview people, I always make sure I see them walk? Isn't that weird? But isn't that good, though? Isn't that good? Because when you hire people, you want to make sure people are motivated. That I don't have to sit there and push them. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I need self-starters. I need people who are motivated. I want to make sure they walk fast. Because if you walk fast, you usually walk with purpose. Everybody see that? That's good stuff right there. I won't even get into the messy car things. That might be too, you know, invasive today. Whatever. Let's move on. Proverbs 21:25. The craving of a sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. Everybody, you can never equate laziness with the things of God. Laziness is not meant to be a part in any of our lives. It is not associated with the things of God. The Bible says that the sluggard, he's like a door hinge in as he lays in bed. He's like a door hinge. He just goes from this time, turns that way. Well, I heard another pastor one time say that he teaches about blanket victories. And he's not talking about victories that cover a lot of things. He's just talking about the ability to conquer the blanket and get out of bed. He said, if somebody gets out of bed early in the morning, first thing in the morning, and they conquer that blanket on a daily basis, they actually get out of bed to go get some things done. He said, that's somebody who's going to accomplish a lot. But what about those people who just decide to stay in bed all day? Why? Because they're not having blanket victories. The blanket has conquered them, and they're just lazy. They're just lazy. That's free of charge right there. There you go. Number three, for the mocker, the cure is humility. For the mocker, the cure is humility. I love Proverbs 3:34. The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. So the mocker is prideful. He's filled with arrogance. He's just a high-minded person. She's a high-minded person. And the Bible says that's not how we're meant to live our life. We're meant to live our life with humility, not with pride, not with arrogance. Let me tell you how to fix that in your life. Never elevate yourself. Always elevate God. Always elevate others. Always elevate God. Always elevate others. That's how you live a life of humility. You don't live a life of humility by putting yourself down. You live a life of humility by not thinking of yourself at all. So when I'm in the room, I always think I'm the least important person in the room. I'm gonna make as many people as I can, from the youngest to the oldest. I'm gonna make them feel important because they are. I'm going to make them feel valuable because they are. I'm going to consider them more important than myself. That's humility. I'm not even thinking about myself. I'm just thinking about them. So I'm going to elevate God. I'm going to elevate others. Everybody see that? That's good stuff right there. Number four, for the fool, the cure is pain. Proverbs 16:22, prudence or wisdom is a fountain of life to the prudent. But folly, or you could say foolishness, brings punishment to fools. Why? Because God uses consequences to get our attention. So think about the consequences. What I try to do is I try to forward think. I try to pre-think the end of every decision I make. to see what the consequence will be. Because I want every consequence in my life to be a good one. So I'm not just thinking in the moment, I'm thinking way down the road. Like right now, I have plans right now that are literally 15, 20 years from now. I have plans, I'm thinking about consequences 15 or 20 years from now. I'm telling you, I'm thinking those thoughts right now. Why? Because to not think about consequences is foolishness. I don't want to do that. I want to be wise. I want to be wise. Okay. And obviously, none of us want to be fools. And then the number five, okay, for the wise, the results are rewards. Remember this: how we started, we all love being rewarded. Well, who do you think could reward you better than anybody else in this entire world? And that's God our Father. And by the way, he wants to. He wants to reward you. He wants to give you good and perfect things. He wants to meet every single need in your life, and he wants to do above and beyond immeasurably more than anything you can think or imagine. Our God is a good God. He's a good Father, and he wants to reward you, but he's looking for you to live a wise life. Watch what Proverbs 9:12 says. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you're a mocker, you alone will suffer. I'm going to read that again. If you are wise, and that means you have a choice in the matter. There's no excuses for anybody in this room. Every single person in this room can be wise. We grow in knowledge and understanding, and then we apply those things to our life, and we will live a life that God rewards. He says, if you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. That's a promise. That's a promise in his word. If you live a life of wisdom, you will be rewarded. I don't know about you, but I like rewards. I like rewards. I want to be rewarded. And I want to be rewarded by God. That's how I choose to live my life. I choose to live a life of wisdom. I don't always get it right. Oh, but I'm getting better. How many like me? I still mess some things up every now and then. I hate that. I'm driven by excellence. I'm driven by being as wise as I can be. It's a driving force in my life. And you know what? God's going to take care of me, and he's going to bless me. He's going to show me his favor because I've just chosen a life of wisdom, and I still need a lot more of it. I'm not there yet, everybody. Are you? I don't want to give you the wrong impression. I am not there yet, but I'm getting better. But I'm getting better because of the grace of God. You received the word of the Lord today, yes or no? Okay, so how do we live a life of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is the fear of the Lord? Unrivaled awe, unparalleled allegiance, undivided attention. He's the center of my life. I'm talking about fear of the Lord. He's in my thoughts all day, every day. I stand in awe of God. And then I'm gonna get to know God by getting to know his word, his character, his nature, his will. It's revealed right here in his word. So I'm going to study his word to get to know him. And I'm going to grow in knowledge. I'm going to grow in understanding. And I'm going to grow in wisdom when I apply those things, those truths in my life every single day. So what am I going to do every day? I'm going to worship with all my heart. I'm going to stand in awe of God. I'm going to fear the Lord. I'm going to worship. I'm going to study. I'm going to pray. I'm going to elevate God, elevate others. I'm going to stay humble. I'm not going to elevate me. I'm not going to think about me. I'm going to think about God. I'm going to think about others. And I'm going to live my life for the glory of his name. And God says, that's a life he will reward. That's your best life. I'm telling you, that's your best life. And you can have it. It's there for the taking. For anybody who would just say, yep, I'm going to submit to the will of God concerning wisdom. It's there for every single one of us. And that's what I'm choosing. I hope you are too. Heavenly Father, help us to choose a life of wisdom, to grow in knowledge, to grow in understanding, and to apply those truths to our everyday life. Help us to get to know you. Help us to elevate you, help elevate others. Help us, Lord, to live lives of humility, lives of service, lives that truly care for others. Help us, Lord, to grow, to mature in Christ and be who you've called us to be, all for the glory of your name. We pray it in Jesus' name. If you pray that prayer with me, say amen. God bless you guys. I love you more than you know. I pray for you every day. Remember, one invitation can change a life.
As a church, it's our honor to play a small part in what God is doing through your life, and we would love to continue on that journey with you. To find out what your next steps could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to mynsc.org/contact. Thank you to all of you who consistently give, serve, and pray. You are the ones who God is using to make a difference in our community as we live out our mission of leading people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for watching. We hope you tune in next week.